Friends and Christ and family of Bethlehem, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. These are the words of a self-titled book that we're going to be using as some of our small groups are going to be meeting starting this week. You can find some more info on that on our welcome desk, but these aren't just the words of a book that we're studying. These are actually kind of the words of what we had just heard in Scripture. Even though this is now the Easter season and this is just the first week after Easter, we're going to go back in time a little bit. Before the resurrection, before Good Friday, even before Palm Sunday, where Jesus and his disciples, they just got done feeding the 5,000. Crowds of people were fed and they were satisfied. Jesus goes up onto a mountain and prayed to get a little bit of quiet time, sends the disciples off in the boat to do what the disciples do best. They go fishing. They're out there on the boat all night. And then Jesus takes his time, and it's, they say, the fourth watch of the night. It's about 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning. And we hear this. Jesus came by night to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And then Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you," I love this. He's like, "Prove it to me. If it is you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water." He's calling Jesus bluff. He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So, again, if you want to walk on water, just like Peter did, what did he do? He first got to get out of the boat. This is a message for us all today as we are Easter people. We have just witnessed and heard the story told again in fresh new ways that Christ is risen. Let's hear it again. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So what do we do with that message? What do we do knowing that we have a Lord and Savior, a living God, that's already making a difference in our lives? What do we do about it? We just sit back and enjoy our chocolate and Easter candy for one more week? Maybe. I think there's something even better. As we've witnessed a miracle, we get to be miracles and witness this miracle each and every day. And what that means is we are God's people called to get out and walk, not just on water, but on land and in the grass, everywhere we go as his people. We are called just to be the same disciples of Jesus. In fact, that's what Jesus was up to. He's performing these miracles of feeding crowds, healing the blind and sick, and yes, even walking on water. Not just because it's a cool thing to do because he's God, he's got the power, but he's doing it to teach his disciples, just the 12, first and foremost. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow God? And once they are understanding it, then they will be ready to be released as Pentecost people to grow the church finally. They'll look back on this time with faith so that they can be agents of faith for others. So yes, as Easter people, we have to go back in time a little bit and remember that if we want to walk on water again today, if we want to see miracles at work, maybe in a friend's life, if we want to see people come to faith just like you did, we are also called to do something. Get out of the boat. We're looking here on this picture. I kind of like, this is like a Christopher Columbus sort of situation. He's riding on, the Santa Maria maybe, or the Nina Pinta, one of them, and he's encountering a brand new world. Aside from politics, if Christopher Columbus didn't get out of the boat, we probably wouldn't have America, and that would be. If we did, it'd look a whole lot different. For you and me and all of us today, if we want to see the world a better place, we first have to get out of the boat. But what does all that mean? What is a boat? What does it mean for us to be in a boat? Maybe like it was for the disciples. What's my boat? Well, it's whatever gives you the greatest sense of security. It's your comfort zone. That's your boat. It's what you're tempted to put your trust in when life gets stormy, just like the disciples. And to know what your boat is to first ask yourselves, what is it that produces the most fear in me? Especially when I think of leaving it behind and stepping out in faith. If you're afraid of doing something, that means you're holding tight to maybe something that you can maybe let go of. If you're afraid of losing it, that means it's something that you maybe can branch out from. That's your boat. So think for a moment, in your life today as it is, what is it that is your boat? What's your comfort zone? What are you feeling that you're just kind of going through the status quo, just going through the motions and your security? Maybe it's your faith. Maybe it's your church life. You just kind of are comfortable. You don't want to change. People don't love to change in church now, do they? What else is your comfort zone? Might be just your home. A lot of us are homebodies. That's okay. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a house that you're okay with, but maybe there's something different that might be better for the family. But you're just afraid to jump out. Maybe the bank won't get you money. Maybe it's just too much going on at once. What is your boat? What's your security zone? For me, I'm going back in time and remembering. I loved school. I was an academic kid. I would just be thirsty for more homework and more chances to get straight A's or extra credit. I was one of those kids. The teachers loved me, by the way. That might have helped things, but... And I tried so hard. I was going to be the hopeful one in my family. I was the youngest. I have three older siblings. And I was the youngest. I was going to be like a doctor or a lawyer or something, just get a bunch of money and then just buy my parents like this great house or something. So I was ambitious, and I tried real hard, and I didn't really do good on the ACT state testings and all that stuff, but I had really good grades, and I did a lot of extracurriculars, and I finally wound up my dream of getting into the University of Wisconsin in Madison. I tried hard. I was like, this is it. I made it, and I was going to go and be a pharmacist because I already had family friends that maybe were going to offer me a job. And I was going to make boatloads of money and just sling drugs for people, the good kind. And I was just going to make it. And so I went, didn't even need to tour the schools. Like, don't matter, it's Madison. I'm going to be a Badger. I'm just going to go. I go through orientation, and I was like, maybe I don't know if I like this. So I get into some classes, and there's like 40,000 kids. And I'm coming from a small town, rural redneck school, and I'm like a little fish in a huge pond. And then I got some bad roommates, and then I was kind of lonely because there's so many people, and then I started getting into arguments with professors because they're teaching things that didn't really align with what I learned growing up in church. They're really kind of out there with some of their things. And I was in a predicament. I worked so hard to get into this dream, then what do? Like, I don't want to give up, like, my dream of being a Badger in the University of Wisconsin and giving up my dream of maybe making it, but I'm not happy. And I have this discussion with my mom one night where, Aaron, you're gifted in anything you want to do. If you want to be a doctor, great. You can pretty much do whatever you're given. But the only thing that really lights up your eyes is when you talk about the Bible to people. And you explain things in easy-to-way concepts. She's like, yeah, you're right. So I start dabbling in religion classes in Madison. Whew. And then I get into arguments again with those professors. And I was like, maybe I should just transfer out. I was like, how could I do that? This is like the school to be in Wisconsin. How could I leave it? I was like, and a whim transfer. I'm going to go to Concordia University in Mequon and study to be a Lutheran school teacher. Well, this time I learned my lesson, and I actually toured the school before going, but I went with my dad and my home pastor, and guess what? I didn't end up being a Lutheran school teacher. I went to go to the seminary to be a Lutheran pastor. But I wouldn't be here today if I didn't maybe get out of that boat of mine, the comfort zone. I could have been rich and famous. I could have been somebody that was maybe seen on the news, but no. God had different plans for me and was laughing at whenever I said I had plans of big things. But in actuality, God's doing much bigger things with the talents he's given me to be here for you. Very scary moments in life that I look back and maybe wonder if things would have turned out differently. But maybe you have stories like that too. Maybe you're inching to maybe do something big in life. It might not be transferring schools, but maybe it's transferring jobs. Maybe it's getting into a new home or building a new home or getting out of a relationship that's maybe just not good for you, not a healthy relationship or around safe people. You see, it's not just about getting out of your home in the age of COVID and the aftermath. This is a daily, a yearly thing that we're called to acknowledge God's presence in our life and what he's asking us to do with our short time. So, what is your boat? What is your boat today? And the second question, what's keeping me from getting out of my boat? It might be fear. The unknown is scary. Fear of people, maybe. Maybe afraid of what people might say or think about you. Fear of failure. You could flop. Maybe fear of criticism. Fear of missing out. But in order for us to grow as Easter people, we have to go into new territories. The disciples were scared to death to do the same thing too. But each time we go into some new territory in life, when we get those growing pains, each time you do, you will experience fear. Fear's not always a bad thing because it teaches us a lesson to grow. Fear doesn't go away in life, but each time that we get out of our boats, we become a little more able to do it next time when we're called to. And we begin to realize that fear doesn't have the power over us like we thought it once did. So just like with Peter, when Jesus says to you, come, or maybe it's to go or wait, whenever Jesus is calling you to something, start walking because he won't let you down. And he won't let you drown if that's the case for Peter. So get out of the boat and consider thinking, what is it that's keeping me from doing so? And wonder also, what is it that I will forfeit if I do stay in my comfort zone, in my boat? What do you forfeit if you just don't take chances in life? Maybe you can think back if you're a boy or girl and maybe in your grade school and you're just starting to get into dating. What if you never asked out somebody that you really liked, your favorite crush? Maybe you wouldn't get married to that person. Who knows? What do you forfeit by staying in your boat? What if Peter never got out of the boat? He would never have known the power that Jesus has, nor the power that he would once have as well as his disciple. If you think about it, if you're a sports fan, I think it's Wayne Gretzky, you miss every shot that you don't take. Baseball's greatest hitters fail 2 times out of 3, and that's a pretty good odds still. But if you don't step up to the plate, if you don't get into the game, you're never going to experience the joy of winning. So today we are called to get out of the boat. And that means we have to be water walkers. So, as is the question, what does it mean to be a water walker? What does it mean to walk on water? Couple things. In your life, recognize God's presence. That's the first step, If you're going to do anything in life, if we're going to accomplish big things or little things or just get through the day, we first have to recognize that God is there. God is with us. Our Lord is alive. And by means of that, he is there alongside you every step of the way. If you acknowledge God's presence, the fear just seems a little bit easier to manage. And finally, you can also, to be a water walker, discern between what's faithful, what's foolish, and then accept the fear that comes along with life and see it as opportunity. That's the first steps to be a water walker today. As Easter people once more, only you can decide and discern what's on your heart. So take a moment and see, what is it that God needs of you? God has given you a lot of talents. Some of you are really good speakers. Some of you are really good marketers. Some of you are really good in the home. Some of you are good workers. What is it that God has equipped you for? And are you using those talents the way that God has designed? If you're looking for a new job that's maybe going to allow you to use those talents, go after it. And if you still don't get that the thing that you're desiring, keep going after it. Eventually, it'll pay off. It might not happen at once, and sometimes it hurts to have failure, but there's a reason why God has made you to be the way you are. And there's a reason why he has called you to be together in his church. Because when we put those things in action, when we get out of the boat, we start to see churches fill up. We start to see even better hearts fill up in faith. Jesus is alive, but guess what? Jesus is alive in you, and you get to be Jesus for somebody today. And that's a pretty cool calling, if you ask me. Even better than being a pharmacist. So today, as we're going to kickstart, we're going to hear some really special members and some guest speakers the next few weeks. You won't just hear from me about how you can get out of your boat, so to speak, and how we can still encounter miracles the next few weeks to come. But until that time, we will continue to pray to our Lord. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift that is the greatest miracle of all, your son Jesus, alive, and our God, our Lord. We pray that you would help us see your presence in our lives today. And all the uncertainties and fears and ups and downs, help us see how you are actively involved still. We pray that as we maybe at times put our toe in the water and we branch out in fear and in faith, that you would encourage us to maybe take leaps of faith and be patient to wait on you, Lord, for whether it's soon or later, you will prepare us to do what you need us to do. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.